Well, greetings all of you future pilgrims to the Holy Land. Wow, I can't believe we're finally getting to go back to Israel. It's been since 2019. Now imagine that. All this time has passed, and we cannot tell you how super excited we are. Every year at this time is the best time of the year for me and those that go with us, because it is something, if you've never been, you're just going to absolutely be stunned and shocked and excited when you see the land of the Bible and the places that you have read about all your life. Pam and myself and Amanda are going along with Charlie and Isabella that help us do some taping. And so let me just mention to you that the trip is very, very safe. I've never been afraid anytime I've ever gone to Israel or to Jordan. I've never seen anything that scared me. I have discovered many years ago that the news is very hyped up. Kids that are, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old are walking the streets, going to school without anybody interfering with them. There are vendors on the streets, people selling bread, Orthodox Jewish men all over Jerusalem. You're going to find out that Yerushalayim is the city of peace, and really it is a very peaceful place and very safe for tourists. Tourists come by the millions to the Holy Land. And I'm going to give you about 6 quick things that have amazed me. Number one is Israel is where you go to prove the Bible was true, and we'll do that on our trip. Secondly, it's amazing how you can stand at one spot like Jericho and see where 5 major biblical incidents occurred during 3,000 years. It's absolutely something that will just, pardon my expression, blow your mind. Thirdly, you're going to see how prophecy is right now being fulfilled in the Holy Land. Fourthly, I think what amazes the most people is they say, I cannot believe how peaceful it is. You know, in Tiberias, people are walking the streets. In Jerusalem, you go to all the stores, the shops, the sites, and it's just a wonderful place. And one of the things that people don't see until you go on a Holy Land trip is the fun that you have. And that bus full of people that you're going to be riding around with, you will have friends the rest of your life. And when you come to the conferences and you see the Holy Land people that went with you on the trip and were on your bus, I promise you this, you're going to be friends for life, and the fellowship is absolutely incredible. And by the way, the food is great. And speaking of food, you have a buffet breakfast every morning. You have a buffet dinner every night. The lunches are included. Almost no trip that goes from anywhere in the world includes lunch. Lunch is extra cost, but your lunch is included in your trip. As a matter of fact, let me talk about that for a moment. We decided years ago to put everything we can in the cost of your trip. You know, the round trip from Israel to Tel Aviv, from a major hub here in America to Tel Aviv and back, all of your tips, all your taxes, all your entrance fees, all the lunches during the tour, you know, the bus, the guides, the drivers. We have one soft drink for lunch and dinner included in the meal. Normally that's extra if you want to, like a Coke or whatever, Sprite. We have one that's paid for in your price. We pay for the baptismal robe and the baptismal towel. And basically you need a valid passport. I'll talk about that in a moment. You'll need spending money, a comfortable pair of walking shoes and your clothes, and everything else is taken care of for you. If you do have any questions that come up at the last minute, be sure and get that Noseworthy travel number, and you can contact Noseworthy Travel. As a matter of fact, let me just give that to you now. The Noseworthy number is 1-800-929-4684, option 2. That's 1-800-929-4684, option 2. And of course, most of you already have the email address, and this is all small letters, NTS, the little A, which means at travelwithus.com, NTS at travelwithus.com, all small letters there. So always keep that around, and if you have any questions, you can contact the travel company to get those questions answered. They have told me that they normally send what we call the name badges, your personal name badges. It's a lanyard that hangs around the neck, and they also give you your luggage tags, and those have to go on your luggage, and it has a certain color. It's a white bus, red bus, blue bus, and there'll be a color tag, and it will say Noseworthy Travel. I always put my name on the back of it and even my address on the back of that tag when I get it, and you put it on your luggage, but they're going to send that out somewhere around, usually around 3 weeks to 4 weeks before the trip, and then you will get your flight contact information right around 2 weeks before the trip, sometimes 10 days, 2 weeks before the trip. The reason we did not go to Israel, of course, was because of COVID, and they wanted you to have the vaccine, but they dropped that. There was half the country was empty because people had not taken the vaccine. So now, and we're grateful for this, you do not have to have a PCR test, and you do not have to fill out the Israeli healthcare forms. That's no longer required, and you don't even have to have the COVID shot to go. So please understand that. So there's no quote, COVID restrictions placed on people going into Israel. But I will talk to you about the trip cancellation in church, which is always a good thing to have in just a moment. Now, first of all, by now, you should have a valid passport. Now, what do I mean by valid? Well, first of all, if I don't know if you know this, but on the inside of your passport, there's a place for you to sign it. So be sure to get your passport out, and I always take an ink pen and just sign my name. It'll be right there where your picture is somewhere on that same page. Then I always make a copy on a copy machine of the passport itself. And you can go somewhere and do that. Probably your church has a copy machine. Maybe your pastor will let you do that. But just lay the, you don't copy the whole passport. You just lay open the page that has your picture on it and make a copy. I keep that with me separate. In the very, very unlikely event my passport gets lost and I have a copy. Now that doesn't mean you can get on a plane with that. You can go to the embassy and get another passport. But that shows them the information that you have. It makes it a lot faster. So you need a valid passport, and that means that if you look at the date when it says, there's a date that how long it lasts, and if your passport, it cannot end within 6 months. The date cannot end within 6 months of you returning from Israel. I had to get a new one because I looked at my passport and found that it would be 5 months valid after I got back in December, and that's a no-no. So I had to get another one, so I did that. So anyway, sign it. Be sure you have that passport. Now, another thing that's very important here is that your passport information needs to be given to Noseworthy Travel 30 days before you leave. And the reason is the hotels do that for security purposes. In other words, you just call Noseworthy and say, here's my passport number, here's who I am, and the information. And you can call them at any time during the week, Monday through Friday. So be sure they have your passport information. Number four is called trip cancellation insurance. Now, this is good to have, and let me explain. Let's say before you go on the trip, a loved one dies that's very close to you and you want to stay. If you have trip cancellation insurance, you can get a doctor's statement or a copy of the death certificate, and it will repay you for the trip. If you don't have the insurance, you lose money. Now, is Noseworthy being greedy? No. They have to send money to the airlines for your ticket, money to the hotels for your hotel room. And so that money that you paid off the trip is already spent in advance before the trip on all kinds of deposits and things like that. So just remember, the trip cancellation insurance is very, very good to have. And they also, I think, have in the insurance additional COVID coverage if someone should get COVID and have to go to the hospital. You know, normally that's not paid for. That's out of pocket. So that insurance is a part of that. So we're going to take out trip cancellation insurance anyway. It's a good thing to have when you're on the trip. So you can check with them, who knows where they travel on that. A lot of you have already done that already. Okay, let's talk about pre-tour. This is what Perry Stone wants to tell you about pre-tour. So everything will go smooth. Your passport. Don't leave home without it. Don't forget it. Write on your hand. I write on my hand, passport on the palm of my hand sometimes because I do not want to forget it. Know where it is at all times and keep it safe, okay? Now, there will be oftentimes safes in the room that you can put stuff in. You put the number in, etc. But one time, I left the hotel in Tiberias. I left my money and my passport in the safe. So be sure when you leave, you don't do what I've done before, okay? So keep your passport. Don't lay it down somewhere and walk off, because you can't get in Israel and you can't get in the United States without your passport. That's the bottom line. Here's what you're allowed to take. Now, I know that you go to airlines and people say, yeah, but the airline said this, but these are the international rules on this particular trip. You're allowed one large suitcase with a 50-pound limit. Now, the airlines, this is not us, the airlines, if you go to 51, 52 pounds, they'll try to charge you. Now, if you have a carry-on bag, I was over by 2 pounds one time, and I just took some clothes out of the suitcase and put it in my carry-on bag. And they said, okay, that's fine. But anyway, don't go over 50 pounds and travel light. I will tell you how to pack in a moment, because everybody wants to overpack. They act like it's a cruise ship where you're going to go to dinner every night. It is not. It is a walking Holy Land tour. So I'll talk about that in a moment. And they also do this because of the weight of the buses. All your luggage goes under the bus when you go from the airport to the airport, and also when we're transferring hotels. So there's other reasons that works out very well. You are allowed a carry-on bag. Now, what's a carry-on bag? It is not a suitcase. It is a small gym bag, or you can use a backpack. A lot of the guys like to, and women do this too, but they like to carry a backpack, and it has to go underneath the seat of the plane or in the overhead compartment above what they call the bin where you're sitting at on the airplane. Now, the reason we take a carry-on bag, let's say I have medicine that I have to take, so I don't put it in my suitcase, I put it in my carry-on bag. I put a very small tube of toothpaste and a very small toothbrush in there, okay? And so your medicine, a toothbrush, toothpaste, that kind of thing, that goes in there. Now, let me say this. It is also good to have a very light pair of clothes, like an extra t-shirt, extra pair of jogging outfits, extra pair of socks in a carry-on bag. This is very unlikely to happen. I mean, don't panic about this. It's unlikely, but it can happen, that if your luggage gets lost, you have a change of outfit. That's the only reason we do that. Sometimes I'll go to, before the plane lands, I'll go to the restroom and just change shirts. You don't have to do that. That's something I do because I perspire even on an airplane. That's just me. That's Barry Stone, you know? So your carry-on bag is just for basically your medicine, one outfit to change, or anything that you might need on the plane. Now, a lot of people take those little headrest pillows, the blow-up kind, and you can blow it up when you get on the plane. I wouldn't recommend blowing it up walking around with it. It's just a pain to carry, but you can put that in your carry-on and before you take a seat, you can get that little blow-up pillow out, blow it up. Now, everybody wears it wrong. Listen to me. This is so funny. They put the round part, you know, it's shaped like a horseshoe, right? And they put it on that round part on the back of their neck, and you can't sleep like that. It is made for you to turn it around, and the round part goes under your neck, and the part that's open faces the seat. Okay, that's how you wear that. It'll be a lot more comfortable, and it keeps your head, you know, when you're flying, it keeps your head from moving around while you're trying to sleep. To sleep better, what I do, I go to CVS Pharmacy, and I buy just a little tiny box of those silicone earplugs. All right, now, they're silicone because they're kind of clear. I carry them with me in my briefcase because I don't take a carry-on. My carry-on is my briefcase, and I keep them in there, and when I want to sleep, I put them in my ear and press them around my ear, and it knocks the sound out, and it really is effective for me. So you can do that or not do that. That's totally up to you. Some people can sleep in the, Pam can sleep in the middle of a storm, okay? So she don't need those. But anyway, you're allowed again. One suitcase, 50 pounds, one carry-on bag, which is a small gym bag or backpack, I should say. Something of that nature. Something small that fits underneath your seat or in the bin over your head. Now, some people, instead of taking like a purse, they carry a, what's called a fanny pack. Now, don't ask me why they call it that. But it buckles around you and it sits in the front and you zip it open. And some people like to keep their passport or their stuff in that, okay? Don't pack your money in your suitcase. Keep it on you. And again, do not pack your passport in your suitcase. Do not pack your passport in your suitcase. You need it to get into Israel. You keep that in your carry-on bag, okay? A woman can take a small purse if you'd like, or your purse can be your carry-on bag, actually. But listen to me carefully. If you take one with straps, I fuss at Pam all the time because she gets one of those that's way open. Never take a big purse with shoulder straps. It's open because these a thief, if they're professional, while you're walking, can reach in there and take something out of your purse. Make sure it has a zipper. Very simple, okay? One that zips or closes, something of that nature. All right. The night before, what we always do, we always go to the internet, check the airlines, and make sure that the flights are on time and everything is going well, etc. A lot of people don't know this if you've never traveled, but if you travel, when you get on an airplane, your phone will be roaming unless you go to your settings and put airport mode and cut airport mode on. Airport mode means you've cut off the roaming on your phone. So if you don't do that, it'll suck out all the battery and energy in your phone. Now, one of the things that they've changed recently, and I'm assuming they're still doing this, is the last time I went, they had free Wi-Fi on the bus and they had free Wi-Fi in the hotel. I am assuming they have that, but check with the front desk at the hotel. And that way, and the guide will tell you more about this. I don't want to get complicated and bogged down about your telephone, but I do not ever call on the hotel phone. The hotel phone prices are huge and you'll have a very large bill unless they let you at certain times call home and they have a that already set up or something. That best thing to do is check with the front desk. Now, the easiest thing to do is call your phone company and get a brief like 10-day international phone calling plan, all right? And we do know if you're in an area where the Wi-Fi is working on the bus, sometimes you can audio time or you can FaceTime on the bus, etc. So I'm just going to say that if you call from the hotel, it can be very expensive. Now, if someone calls from home to you, that's a different story. But when you call from the hotel home, it's expensive. So everybody's got a cell phone now, so you can check on that, so on. Now, it's very important to get a good pair of walking shoes, but don't buy new shoes and try to break them in on the trip. I bought a brand new pair of tennis shoes. Hallelujah. My other ones had a rip in them, and I saw that and found out that. So I've been breaking them in now. I've been making sure they're comfortable because there is quite a bit of walking here. Now, when it comes to the tour day, I'm going to tell you what is light. What is comfortable is a jogging outfit, a light jogging jacket. If it's real hot, you can leave the jacket on the bus, a t-shirt underneath, and jogging pants. This is one of the best ways of traveling. Now, because Jerusalem can get a little cooler in the evening, you might take a jogging outfit that is a little bit, not real thick, I don't mean that, uncomfortable, but it's a little bit thicker, some lighter ones, one thicker one, etc. A lot of people wear jeans. I will tell you something about jeans. A lot of people take jeans, but jeans weigh a lot more than leggings or or a jogging outfit. And that's why, for me, now I have to TV tape, so I'm a little bit different. I have to take jeans. But if you want to take jeans, that's fine. But you need to know they do weigh a lot more, a little bit more in your luggage. You know, take a pair or two. It don't matter, three, if you want to. But I'm saying that the jogging outfit is way lighter, and it's very comfortable to wear, etc. So, you know, some underclothes, jeans, jogging outfit for the ladies, leggings, T-shirt. T-shirts are perfect. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to look cute. You want to be comfortable. And take one light jacket. The weather is usually like Southern California when we're in Israel in November most of the time. It can rain a little bit. You can pack you a little portable umbrella if you like. That's always a good thing to take, you know, so you can buy one there for a couple bucks, but sometimes they're harder to find. So pack you a little umbrella there in case you need it, and a light jacket. Personally, I would wear the light jacket on the plane, but when you leave the plane, don't do what I did one time and leave your very nice jacket on the plane. I left it in the bin. I put my jacket somewhere and left it there. So I said, had to go buy me a jacket. So anyway, if you want to know what the weather is like, go to weather.com, look up Tiberias Israel and Jerusalem Israel. And you can also look up the Dead Sea, and you can get like the day you're leaving, the 10-day weather forecast. You know, sometimes it'll be totally sunny. Sometimes it's rain at night. Sometimes it rains a little in the morning, which is normal. And it's fine because the land needs the rain. But normally we have very good weather over there, but it's always good to have, again, the light jacket and the umbrella. One of the things I learned the first year I went, I overpacked. I had an outfit for night and an outfit during the day. And my suitcase, back then you could take a lot more than you can take now as far as weight. It was horrible how I overpacked. So do not overpack. What we tell people to do is whatever you wore during the day, go to your room when you get to the hotel in the evening, freshen up, and just wear that to dinner. We do not dress up for dinner. We do not take dress up clothes because this is not a cruise. This is a tour, a walking tour, okay? So be sure and do that. And again, nice T-shirts. The T-shirt doesn't have to have writing on it. It can, though. But a nice T-shirt is good to wear during the day and during the tour, etc. And so most rooms have a blow dryer in it, but what about curling irons? Well, the curling irons, our curling irons here, when you plug them into the wall, have a certain voltage, and the Middle East has a different voltage. If you're going to use a curling iron, you can go to Radio Shack, and you can get a Middle East adapter, converter and adapter, and take that with you in your suitcase. That's what you need to do. And then you take the box and put it in the wall, and then you put your plug in there, and you have little converters that go with it there. And if you want to know how to do it, maybe Pam Stone can. The first day we get there, we have a big meeting when we get there. I think we're going to Tiberias first, and we meet in a big amphitheater. Oh boy, that is so much fun. Everybody's hooping and hollering and yelling. It is a blast. So I might get Pam to show you how the adapter and converter works. It's very, very simple. So again, let's go over this, because I know this is where people, you know, have a lot of questions. Big suitcase, good pair of walking shoes at the airport, very light jacket at the airport, because depending on what city you go out of, it could be cool. No shorts, spaghetti strap dresses, or halter tops. Do not pack those. Here's why. Some of the holy places, the churches will not let a woman in, and we don't want you to miss anything. So just remember, eliminate the shorts, spaghetti strap, and halter tops. Again, no need for suits, no need for dressing up. Get your pair of sunglasses. You might need those. Guys, you might want to, if you burn easy, you might want to carry a ball cap with you because the Dead Sea is pretty warm. You want to take Bibles, you want to take notes, etc. If you want to do that. Now, here's the only rule of the house I have personally. We are not TV taping on this one. And most of you know that when you came. We are not, but I'm taking an i14 phone, and Charlie is going to tape me at time doing YouTube videos. Now, from time to time, I'll just teach to you, and he'll plug it up, and you won't even know what we're doing. He'll just tape me on a phone. Because our YouTube videos and our manifest program is copywritten, and because people have abused trying to take my stuff and put it on, we don't let anybody tape on a phone or an iPod while I'm teaching. Now, you can tape your guide. You can tape your guide all day long. When he's teaching, that's fine. But for me personally, that's going to be the rule of the house. And I'm not going to tell you all my horror stories dealing with people in the past, okay? So when I'm speaking to the group, no taping allowed. Another reason we do that is if we're taping for YouTube, Charlie will turn, and we don't want everybody's, you know, camera holding up. It just doesn't look good. So anyway, just want to let you know that. But we're going to go off the beaten path. We're going to have a great time, all right? Now, when you're touring, you don't have to leave your purse in the room, ladies, for example. You can bring your purse and bring it to the bus and put loaded in the overhead bin, okay? The driver always stays with the bus, or he locks the bus up and the buses have alarm. To my knowledge, we've never had anything taken on a bus, and they have ways, they have cameras, they have ways of knowing if somebody took something anyway. So just remember that when you're out touring, if you want to leave it, you can carry it if you want to carry it, but if you want to leave it, you can do that, and we've never had a problem at this point with that. I would not personally, unless you want to work in the room with it. There again, you got to have an adapter. I wouldn't take a large computer, iPods, iPads. Do not take extra jewelry. Do not take expensive watches. Wear your wedding bands. Everybody's going to know you're married, so no single guy's going to try to scope you out, okay? Over there, I mean, in that country. And so the tour company will send you information that will help detail it, so please read all of that. Real quick, here's what I do. Night before home, I'm packed before the night before. I make sure I've got what I need. Make sure I've got my toiletries, etc. pack. I put on my luggage tag, and again, it has a bus color on it, and that means that's the color bus. There'll be a big sign that says white bus, red bus, blue bus, and whatever your luggage tag is, that's the bus you'll be riding on throughout the tour. And then also, again, your passport, take it with you. Be sure you have your paper. They don't have tickets anymore. They just use papers with information on them. Take that with you to the airport and keep it with you. Most people already have a roommate. They know who the roommate is. If you don't, we try to match those according to age and according to the same area where someone may be coming from. And you know, I've gone to Israel for 38 years, and I've only seen once or twice when there was a complaint about a roommate. So most people are very happy. And you don't spend much time in the room. Really, you eat, you sleep, you get up, you clean up, and you're gone. We move, baby, move, baby, move. So we're going to be moving around the country quite a bit. Okay, so the night before, have that ready. Day of departure. Now, this is very important because there can be accidents on the road, because there can be road work. If you have to drive to a big airport, let's say Atlanta, plan to get there early. It takes you time to go through the security. Now we like to check our luggage in and pay, tip a guy outside if the line is big on the inside, if you got what I'm saying, okay? So when you get to the airport where you are, that's called a domestic terminal. You will be leaving that airport, more than likely, and going to JFK, LaGuardia, maybe Chicago, maybe Miami, to go to Israel. So that's called the international flight. Let's just make it simple. Atlanta's my domestic flight. Let's just say JFK is where I catch the plane to go to Israel. Now, if you are flying the same airlines, let's say you're using United to go from Atlanta to JFK and United to go from JFK to Israel, you can check your luggage all the way through at that point at your domestic location. And the people at the desk, they know what they're doing, so they'll help you with this. Sometimes if you use a different airlines, they'll want you to go get your luggage in the terminal. I'm talking about domestic. They'll want you to get your luggage where you're flying to, and then pick it up and take it to the international airport. Now, I know that sounds complicated. Let me tell you what. Just show the people the ticket and say, I'm leaving here, going out of here on this way, and they'll tell you what to do at the desk when you check in. That's the easiest thing to tell you. It's really not that complicated. If you've never been to Israel, all this sounds overwhelming. Can I tell you something? Just get there and everything's taken care of. And sometimes you'll say, you know, you'll get nervous. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Oh, no, don't get nervous. It's not worth it. It's you're going to have a good time. You don't have to worry about anything. But the biggest thing is get to the airport very early, the domestic airport. And then when you get to the international airport, you'll go to the gate and wait till the plane departs at that time. And someone said, how far is the flight? It depends on where you're flying out of. The flight can range, if you're going out of New York to 9 hours to 10 hours, and if there's a headwind, it can be 10 and a half. And I would suggest a lot of the flights do go late in the afternoon, some go at night. I would suggest to try to put some earplugs in and get, you know, if you need that little pillow, blow a little pillow up. Again, put the round part in front of you, the open part behind you. The seats don't go back real far, but lean that seat back a little bit and try to get as much rest as possible. When you're going into Israel, they will tell you to remain in your seat the last 30 minutes of the flight. And because of that, because every time I eat, I have to go to the restroom. Me, it's me personally. I never eat breakfast when they wake up. I just wait till we, you know, eat when we get to the hotel. But that's just me. And because I don't like that 30 minutes of not being able to get up. They do that for security reasons. And again, when you're flying into Israel, they will request you to do that. And that's just something. And then you'll land at Tel Aviv. There will be restrooms in Tel Aviv, by the way, when you land at the airport. airport. All right, now, and the reason I do that is because I have a very sensitive system, so I'm always aware. Trust me, I'm aware of restrooms, okay? That's just a little personal thing there. All right, your day that you leave and you fly is your hardest day. You're tired when you get there, but you get to take a shower and eat at night a huge meal. You get a good night's rest. You will wake up early when you get to Israel. And what I do, I just sit on the balcony of my hotel and watch the sun come up or something of that nature. Sometimes I'll go down in the lobby and take a little stroll before the sun comes up or as the sun's coming up. It'll take you about 2 or 3 days to get readjusted. But there's more oxygen content in the atmosphere in Tiberias and the Dead Sea than there is. I don't want to get into this. This is pretty cool, though, but you will feel great. After about 3 days in Tiberias, you feel honestly better than you have felt maybe all year long. And it's very energizing when you stay there. It's pretty cool. So get a good night's rest if you can. If you can't, that's fine. You'll get to rest when you get there. You'll land in Tel Aviv. You follow the line. You go through customs. That's where you have to have your passport. They'll give you a little tag. You go through the gate. When I say a tag, a little piece of paper, it's a gate pass. You go through the gate, hand it to somebody. Then at that point, you can put your passport away once you've cleared it in a safe place. Remember where you put it. You'll get your luggage off the luggage cart. Place. Everybody will be doing this, so you know it's just common. You'll get a little cart, put your luggage on it, and there'll be an exit that you go out of. When you go out the exit, you go out and you turn, and you just ask where the tour bus is, and they'll point it to you. And all the noseworthy bus will be waiting for you. It'll say noseworthy tour. Now, it might not be the white bus or the gray bus that you're used to, but the buses at the airport are noseworthy buses that take you to the airport. And the next morning, you can get on the colored bus tag that you're supposed to be on. It's simple. So in other words, get to the airport, get your luggage, go outside, and there'll be a representative from Noseworthy that'll be waiting for you, and there'll be restrooms there and everything, and you can take a restroom stop, and then you can get on the bus, and the bus will take, I don't know, somebody asked me how far the drive is. I think it's an hour and a half. I may be wrong, don't hold me to that, because they built some new roads. Then you'll get to the hotel, and you'll get your room key. They'll be at the desk waiting to give you your room key. You'll go upstairs, and trust me, you will take a shower, and you will feel like I have never appreciated a shower any more than I appreciate it here, okay? So it's really going to be good. Now, one of the things I always pack personally, and you can do this as well, is some people do absolutely great in traveling, but I take liquid Imodium, a small bottle, or I take the pills with me, and I carry them with me on the bus in my little briefcase, or I take what's called charcoal pills. Now, I know most of you have never heard of this. If you ever get acid in your stomach, or you feel uncomfortable, or wheeziness, you take a charcoal pill. Now, you do not chew it, or your teeth will be black. You swallow it with water, okay? And what it does, it honestly settles your stomach. It really, really works great. So I take those with me. They're called charcoal pills. Imodium charcoal pills go with me everywhere I go, even in America. Okay, so that's just something you can take if you'd like to take that. All right, let's get to the conclusion of this. Here are some things to take. Take $51 bills for water. There is water on the bus, and you can buy, I think it's a dollar. I think they charge a dollar for water on the bus. Don't dehydrate, especially in the desert. So you'll be able to get water on the bus. Do not swap buses. You have to stay on the same colored bus. Don't meet somebody and jump on their bus, because they will be looking for you and want to know what happened to you, and you will delay the trip. Stay on your buses that you're assigned to. The big one is be on time. We will not sit at the hotel in a bus and wait 15 minutes for somebody doing their hair in their room. If we say we leave at 7, if we leave at 7:30, we will leave and go, because Israel's busy and we want to get to the holy sites early before a lot of other people do. That's why we set the time. So be on that bus. And when you are with the group, please do not just start wandering around all over the place. We had a guy at Nimrod's Castle. He started wandering around. The bus waited 30 minutes and then took off, and he had to get a taxi back to Tiberias. So just keep that in mind. Stay with your group, hang with your group. You know, there'll be restrooms at every site that you stop at. So that's a good thing. When it comes to shopping, first of all, there's a lot of peddlers. These are little guys on the street. You can buy some postcards from them or something, but do not get caught up haggling with them, because, again, you'll be late on the bus. We do have special shops of Christian people and men in Bethlehem that we use their shops. We do have our good friend Shweki. He has stores in Jerusalem, and there's other places we shop. So we have shops that they take the entire group to. And these are people that we trust that guarantee their product and can replace things if something breaks down or something or breaks or something like that. That's why we use them, of course, and then we have relationships with them. They will take American dollars. You do not have to exchange your money. They will also take credit cards. So that's a good thing, of course. We always tell people that at night at the hotels, Tiberias, you can walk around, but, you know, go out with some people. In Jerusalem, we suggest not to try to go out into the area of Jerusalem, especially by yourself. And we always have things going on. You can hang around the hotels. It's just great. And by the time you get in, you're pretty much ready for a good night's rest. Remember, all the tips are included, and to the guides, the drivers, the entrance fees, and all of that. But at the end, they'll give you an opportunity to give a love offering to your driver and your guide, and you will want to do that because they're great. So again, some personal matters. As you tour, as you stop at holy sites, restrooms are everywhere. Restrooms are there at the places that you're going to eat, etc. So the food is great, by the way, 3 meals a day. I would suggest this. Now, this is very important. If you're going to go overseas, tell your credit card company and say, I want you to mark these dates. I will be in Israel, or if you're going to go to Jordan, because if you want to use your card over there, it will signal that your card has been stolen sometimes if you try to use it overseas. So tell your credit card company the day, you know, just call them and say, I'm going to be on. Would you make a note that this day I'll be in Jordan and Israel? And so you'll know. I have some no-nos of the tour that I have learned for 38 years. Number one, never give information to strangers or people in the country where you are staying, ever. Oh, where do you stay? Oh, we're just staying in Jerusalem. Oh, we're just staying in the Galilee. Don't ever give out more information than that. Number two, some people meet people and want to date them in the country. That's very dangerous. Never do that. Number three, don't stray from your group at all. Stay together. And number four, don't stray from your guide, because there again, you could get lost. These are sites, yes, but people wander around and they get lost. And then, you know, it frustrates the people on the bus when they're out looking for somebody, because they're there to tour. So be on time. And the information is posted in the lobby every day. Wake up call at such and such. Be down at so and so. That's how you're going to know what. Always follow the instructions of your guide. And once again, we're not going to be TV taping. And I know a lot of people say, oh, that disappoints me. I love the Manifest Telecast. But we are taping for YouTube. We're having more people watch YouTube than are watching the program on stations. So we will be taping YouTube, and so it's going to be fun. And those, by the way, those videos are much shorter than a Manifest program. It may be a 5-minute, 8-minute video versus a 22-minute video. So anyway, I have covered, I promise, about everything I know to cover. And if this is the first time, all of this feels very overwhelming. I remember the first time I went. I have a little bit of autism, and I was about to bounce off the wall with trying to keep up with the details. Then I get there and I find out all I got to do is keep up with my money and my passport and be on time. That's all I need to do. Everything else is taken care of. Everything else is covered. And I always tell this funny story at the conclusion, because I've never forgot it. I always tell people, never be afraid if you do have an emergency restroom thing, to go to the guy and say, please, can you stop the bus? I have an emergency. And I don't want you to have an emergency all the time. You know, get you some Imodium, okay? But one time we had 4 buses going to, Pam says, Perry, quit telling that. We were going up to the Galilee with 5 buses, okay? So this is back in the day, I'm sitting on the bus. Well, Pam is with Gideon on the first bus. The bus stops, so all the buses pull over. They say, what's going on? Pam runs out and runs to this abandoned building. This doesn't embarrass her anymore, by the way. And Gideon is chasing her, and I got on the mic. I said, well, if the guy wanted to run away with Pam, he could have done it in private. Everybody's hee-hawing and roaring. I said, folks, she's just taking an emergency stop because she had a bladder infection. So anyway, she goes behind the building, and she comes back out. Now, Pam Stone said, let me tell you how I am. If I have that kind of an emergency, I'm gonna have the bus stop. So that almost never happens. Just so you'll be comfortable, it almost never happens. But if you should ever have that, you can slip up there and say, please, can you just stop? And I'm gonna tell you something. That's fine, okay? But here's my point. I have that situation physically in my body, so I have to be comfortable. So I take what I need, and then I always prepare. And the other thing I want to conclude with this is, as strange as this sounds, there's so much food you tend to overeat. And what I've learned is, when I keep overeating, which I have done, I gained 8 pounds one time. That's right, 8 pounds on a Holy Land trip. We were there for 2 weeks. I have learned, eat lighter and you will be much more comfortable walking, much more comfortable. And when you eat heavy, it drags you down. Okay, so just remember that. You know, eating dinner heavy, that you may want, they say don't do that, but you may do that, that's fine. But in the morning and lunch especially, just eat lighter and you will really feel a lot better, because you can really, really overdo it if you're not careful, okay? Let me just bottom line. We're going to have a ball. We're going to have a time. This is so much fun. And when you have to leave, you're going to cry. Pam and I, because you don't want to leave. Pam and I and Amanda and Charlie and Isabella and a bunch of us are going to Petra with the group. Woo! You're going to stand on top of Mount Nebo where Moses saw the promised land. Yes, you are. And then we're going to go to Petra. We're going to eat lunch, go to Petra, spend the night in a great hotel. And Petra is mind-blowing. And so then we'll spend the night at a great hotel near the Dead Sea. I tell you, this is like the hotel fit for a king. It is unbelievable. And then you'll be going home. Most of you will be flying home to Jordan if you go to Petra from there. And then we're going to come back to Israel and do some things. And we're going to leave from there. We're going to have fun. I cannot wait. I've missed Israel for 3 years. And it's home to me. And the guides are jumping. And the drivers are jumping. And the shopkeepers are jumping. Berry Stone's coming. Praise God. Brother Berry's coming back. Amen. So just ease your mind and just go through the information. Just do the basic things. And you get there. And when we get up and the sun's rising on the Sea of Galilee. And you look across the lake and say, Jesus walked here. And you see where the pigs drowned on that slope in Mark chapter 5. You're either going to cry, shout, or pass out for shock because you finally made it. God bless all of you. We are looking forward to it, and thank you for going with us. And we're looking forward to a great time. God bless you. God bless you.